serve a good God. You know, it's interesting because we sing this song, and I've made us or had us, I guess not made us, but I've had us sing and say these words that we say about how we're highly anointed, we're favored, we're blessed. And far too often I hear things from people, not necessarily here, but I hear it from believers, and they talk about, you know, well, but it's just tough, and you know, it's this and it's that. And yes, we live in a fallen world, but we're called to live above it, right? We're the enemy is the footstool, and we're treating the enemy as if he's our I don't know, he's the victor. We're the victor. We're victorious because we have Jesus, right? And I've heard far too many people, and like I say, not necessarily here, but I've heard believers talking, and I just want the believers of this world to rise up like we've been talking about and to advance the kingdom and take up ground and not sit there and act like they're the victim and talk about how everything's doom and gloom around them. And then we have songs like this that we sing, but we mustn't really believe. We mustn't really believe what they're saying about us, because this is the truth of who I am, because this is what it says in His Word. Doesn't it? This is what we should be standing on. This is what we should, not even standing. What's that guy's name that Stacy likes? That Sean Fuchs or whatever, however you say his name. I always say it wrong, so I just say it differently every time, and eventually I'll get it right. But he has this saying of hold the line, right? Is that what it is? And Stacy and I were talking, and she's actually emailing him, or maybe she has already, I don't know. But it's not hold the line. It's actually advance the line. Right? The best defense is a good offense. I know it's opposite of what the real saying is, but to me, that's what it is. When you're not holding the line, you're advancing the line. You're advancing the line of defense. You are advancing the kingdom, and you are not just holding the line, trying to not lose ground. You're actually trying to take ground. And it's not even a matter of taking ground. It's you are taking ground. When you are working within what Christ has given us, we are advancing the line. When we are actually stepping out and being kingdom people and advancing the kingdom in this world today, when we are speaking Jesus, when we are living as we are called to in His Word, we are advancing the line. When we are taking ground and not backing down because Satan is going to try to throw up little flags or throw up things or cause issues in people's lives, and have people come against you, you're not going to stand and try to hold the line. You're going to advance the line. Do you know what I'm saying there? When I play football, I'm not just trying to hold that line and let, no, I don't want them to get on my side of 50. I don't want them to get on my side of the line where I'm defending and they could kick a field goal. No, I'm thinking, I'm getting that ball back, baby, and I'm going for the end zone. I'm going to put my head on somebody's ribs and make them fumble the, that sounds really mean, but, and make them fumble the football, and I'm going to pick it up, or I'm going to have one of my linebackers pick it up, and we're going to block it, we're going to score! Because when you're on defense, it's not just about holding the line, it's about advancing the line. When you're on offense, it's not just about holding the line, okay, I just don't want to give up the ball, it's about advancing the line to score, is it not? We're always advancing the line. That's what we're called to do as believers. Advance the line. Take ground until He comes back. We don't just sit here and say, oh, Jesus, just come back. Just take me now. It's not that. Let's advance the kingdom. Right? So I want us to read this together. And I want us to read it and speak it. We do this almost every time we sing a song, because I feel like maybe the church, the big church, not just Rosetown Community Church, but all churches don't really fully believe this. We talk about it. Sure, some of us are advancing the kingdom and some of us are believing and standing on this, but some of us just feel defeated. And we shouldn't. Stuff's gonna happen. I'm spitting all over the place. Good thing nobody has to wear a mask. But we should be advancing. And I know stuff's gonna happen, and I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is advance, 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 push forward, break the line. We're going to do it all day. And we're not going to stop. So would you guys read this with me today? And I'm going to knock that over. Can you read it with me? I am blessed. I am called. I am healed. I am whole. I am saved in Jesus' name. Highly favored, anointed, and filled with His power for the glory of Jesus' name. Is there another one? Is that it? That's all. There. Let's say it again. Okay? And I want to hear this from you guys because I want you to say it like you actually believe it in your heart. And this is how we should be living. This is how we should be living. It's not a, oh, maybe I'll be healed. Maybe I'll get blessed. Oh, boy, this stuff's happening and I just don't feel blessed. You are blessed. So I am blessed. I am called. I am healed. I am whole. I am saved in Jesus' name. Highly favored, anointed, and filled with His power for the glory of Jesus' name. Father God, we thank You that we are blessed, that we are called, that we are favored. God, I thank You that we are whole. And Father, I pray that as we said these words a few times and as we've sang them, Father, that we would believe with every cell in our being, Father, that that is who we are. And that we wouldn't doubt, we wouldn't walk around and think the sky's falling every time anything happens, but we would remember who we are and who You've called us to be. Father, that we wouldn't make bad choices and poor choices that put us in harm's way, but we would make choices that are of You and that You would be calling us to. That we would be a people who chase after You, God. I thank You that we are and that we are moving more and more towards that, Father. God, I pray that we would advance the kingdom, that we would advance the line, and we would be a people who are bold and would do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks, music team. Thanks, guys. You can have a seat. Well, that was fun. I'm looking forward to having those fans on that air conditioner next week. That would be nice. We're in this series called Reaching Out. And it's a series about gifts. And it's a different title for a series about gifts, maybe. But the premise is this. If we are people who are operating in our gifts, if we are people who are moving in our gifts and the gifts that Christ has given us, then we should be reaching out. We should be a church that isn't just here, but we're out there. We should be a church that is in here, building each other up, encouraging each other. It's not just my job to encourage you, it's each other's job. It's your job to encourage each other, right? That's our job. As believers, we're here to reach out in the church and in our walls as well. Reach out and build each other up. And we started by talking about this message of giving and increasing, succeeding and prospering. And the church of the New Testament, the job of the church is to equip the saints for the work of your ministry. Not my ministry. No, it's not my job just to go out and speak the gospel. It's your job to go out and live the gospel, to speak the gospel, to encourage others. It's all of our job. Isn't it? Every one of us is a minister of the gospel, and I think that's pretty cool. And this is a ministry that must go forth into all the areas of our world. If we're going to advance the kingdom, if we're going to advance the line, we need people who are within the church that are solid Bible-based believers, that are new covenant believers. We need those types of people who are influential in business. We need those types of people who are influential in the education system. We need people who are good at politics. We need people who are new covenant believers, Christian believers, who are in the areas of arts and of movies and of the news and of the media. Don't we? All of these areas that influence the world around us, we need good Christian believers there. Otherwise, we're just going to get the same old garbage and the same old stuff over and over and over again. And I'm not saying that these people are garbage when I say this, but when you have garbage in, when you have garbage ideas, when you have garbage ideals, you're going to get garbage ideals out. Won't you? If you pour sand in your gas tank, your vehicle's not going to run. How long will your engine run, Gary, if you pour sand in your tractor? Not very long, right? Because you need good fuel. And we are that fuel to propel His kingdom into this next realm of where we are to be as believers and as a world. So we need good fuel in you guys in these different areas to take up leadership and advance the kingdom. Has anybody ever thought of running for, like, I don't know, parent-teacher council, or maybe within the education system, or counselor, mayor, MP, MLA? These are the areas that we as believers need to be stepping into. And believe me, we need good Bible leaders in these areas. We need people who will stand up and fight for what Christ has called us to fight for, not just roll over and allow the enemy to have his way in these areas. We are called to advance the kingdom. And we've been talking the past 4 weeks. That was a total aside. You got that for free today. And we spent the past 4 weeks talking about this idea of your gifts, right? And we've talked about these, what I've said a few times is five-fold ministry giftings. And really, they're leadership giftings. And we've talked about things like prophets last week. We've talked about apostles. We've talked about pastors. And we've talked about teachers. And this week, we're going to talk about evangelists. And following this week, we're going to begin talking about other giftings such as administrative, giving, mercy and helps, craftsmanship, intercession, hospitality, exhortation, interpretation, lots of different things like this, okay? And these all these gifts work together when everybody is functioning as they should be in their gift. The gifts just work together so beautifully. And when you see everybody operating and functioning in their gift, the church is far more effective to operate as it should be. And we are able to advance the kingdom and advance the line in a far more unique and greater way than we could have ever imagined. And so I'm going to read here from Ephesians 4, 7 to 16, like we've done for the past couple weeks, because this is the premise of what we're talking about. And it says, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." So the gift of evangelist is one of these five leadership gifts that we find in Ephesians 4 that we just read. And that those gifts are for those that are called to ministry area and to the area of equipping the church, the saints, for the work of their ministry. It's not that these are more important gifts. All the gifts are important, but these are for equipping, the purpose of equipping and teaching and allowing the person that is operating in their gifts to know how to do it and function and have the tools to do it. So what is an evangelist? What is the role of the evangelist? See, the gift of the evangelist is the divine strength or ability to help non-Christians take the necessary steps to become born again believers, become born again Christians, to become followers of Christ, to believe on Jesus, to cross that line from knowing about Jesus to knowing Jesus. That's the primary objective of the evangelist. And the gift of the evangelist is a God-given anointing to share the gospel with unbelievers in such a way that men and women who are far from God move to becoming disciples of Jesus and life-giving members of the body of Christ. That's the end goal. The end goal of the evangelist is to minister, to share, and to teach those that don't know about Jesus so they become a believer and become an effective part of our body. Do you understand that? It's critical that we get them from the point of accepting Jesus to become an effective part of our body. We need to do that. We need to engage people and have them come in to be a part of our body. Otherwise, some of the stuff, when they accept Jesus and if they're not able to come in and be part of the body, it's just lip service sometimes. Sometimes I've had it where I've ministered to people and they, yeah, I'll accept Jesus. Oh, but I'm not going to that church. I'm not going to church. Pfft, are you kidding me? I just did that to shut you up. It's basically what they said. So you just leave me alone. Our role as evangelists is to minister to them and get them in the door so that they can start building relationships with other believers. And then, likewise, our job as the church is to engage these people and continue that work of evangelism to help engage them and walk them through the process of growing into being a strong believer. Crickets. It's true. That's what our job is. To engage with new people when they come in and accept Jesus and tell them more about Jesus and walk with them and journey with them. See, the evangelist is consumed with the reality that there are people out there who don't know Jesus yet. And we should all be very concerned about that. That should be something that stirs us. However, the evangelist stirs that much more. Because with people with other giftings, they're going to use their gifts to help minister to those people. But the evangelist that feels called out into the world and called out into the slums and the corners and everywhere to minister the gospel, or maybe those that are called to 7-Eleven to minister the gospel to somebody, that's where your passion is, and that's where your heart is, and that's where your gift is. And we can't hold that against someone that's not where their gift is. The evangelist is driven to do something about those people. That's the big difference. The evangelist wants to see the kingdom advance, and they're going to do something about it. It's like, you just crossed my family. Now you got to answer to the pauper here. I don't know if that's even a term. You're going to have to pay the piper. You know what I'm saying here, right? I'm just talking gibberish. We've got to advance the kingdom, and that is the role of the evangelist, is to stir you up and to get us going and get us driven. The evangelist wants to see the kingdom advance and wants to do something about it and get it done. And their gift and anointing helps embolden others of the church to share their faith with other people whose lives aren't there yet, who's in their lives they don't know Jesus yet. And as I try to stir you guys up, because I do believe I have that evangelistic gift in me, is I want to see you advancing the kingdom out there. That's why I've said that lots, right from my first Sunday here, I think. Even before you guys said yes to me, before you said yes to the dress, I was telling you what I was about. And evangelists, we need to lean into this. If this is where you feel your gifting is to minister to the world, you need to minister, or you need to lean into sharing your desire to share the good news of Christ with others. The knowledge of Christ, living with Christ in your life, having Christ lead you and guide you and direct you and pour these blessings on you, that's good news, isn't it? That's the good news. And to me, it's crazy if we don't want to share the good news. Like, if you're having a baby and you're like, guess what? Stacy and I are having number six. Yeah. We're not. Don't get excited, people. But you're wanting to share the good news, right? Christ's news is even greater than that. What he has done in our life is greater than baby number six, than the new car I'm getting. I'm getting a new car. No, I'm not. Nope. Okay, but it's greater than any other good news possible. The good news of Christ, that he, what he has done for me, what he has blessed me with, what he has poured onto my life. That is good news, and we need to share that. As the evangelist, you need to lean into equipping and empowering other people to do the same. That's why I'm so passionately charged to share that with you, to get out there, work here together, build each other up, and then get out there and let's do some good work. When we have somebody new come in the door, I really talk with my hands today. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I'm trying to keep cool. But maybe when somebody new comes in, maybe we should even, whether we don't know if they're a believer or not, share the good news with them. Share what Christ has done with them. Because even if they know Jesus, even if they already have him and they believe on him, you have an opportunity to encourage and to bless and spark something new in them. As the evangelist, it's your natural ability to turn a conversation toward Jesus. Every single conversation can always be turned towards Jesus. Yeah, I make hot sauce. I sell hot sauce. But you know what? My hot sauce is nothing compared to the torment and torture you're going to have if you go to hell. Jesus saved me from hell. I'm just kidding. But you know what I mean, right? I'm just being facetious. I'm just joking. But you know what I mean? We can turn every single conversation into an opportunity to share about God's goodness in our life. And we have can take every opportunity to share Christ. The evangelist needs to share their desire to build relationships with non-believers. We need to be out on the streets sharing Jesus. We need to be sharing Christ with everyone. We need to want to build relationships with people because sometimes you just can't go, do you know about Jesus? But you need to take time to build a relationship. Sometimes building that relationship takes years to build. And sometimes it takes minutes. But we need to be able to pour into the non-believers and love them and build a relationship with them so that they can see Christ in us. The evangelist needs to be adaptable in presenting the good news of Christ to the various needs of others. Because every time you come across a new situation, you have a new way that you need to share the ministry, share your testimony, share your story, share what's happening, share how Christ can be a blessing to them. In case you didn't know, and John's told me this before, that I'm an evangelist. And I truly believe, and I will boldly and gladly walk in that. So that's why this one has me a little bit more fired up and I yell a little bit more. I'm not yelling. I'm boisterous, right? Enthusiastic. Because I want us to build relationships with everyone, not just believers, not just non-believers, but everyone. And we need to have that adaptability in our message and our how we share it. And we can't be afraid to challenge non-believers to follow Christ. See, I think too often, too many of us are chickens. Too often, some of us are chickens to share Jesus. And you know what I say to that? Don't be a chicken! Don't be a chicken. There's no need to be a chicken. We should be walking forward with boldness. We should be sharing Christ sincerely. We should be sharing Christ candidly with confidence, shouldn't we? We should be inviting others to Christ. We should be inviting others to partner with us to journey towards Jesus together. We should be inviting others to church. And when they get to church, you should be talking to them if you didn't invite them. Shouldn't we? That's our role. I think we do a pretty good job here, but we always all can do better. We always all can press ourselves and press in and stretch ourselves and grow and be passionate about what He has given us and how He has laid into us this vision of the world knowing Him. We need others to advance the kingdom. Don't we? Now, if you're an evangelist, here's some things to stay away from. And these are tough to hear, but they're true. Stay away from these if you're the evangelist or you feel that you're the evangelistic type and you have that gifting. Don't forget that it's God's job to bring people to Christ and that you are just the messenger. Sometimes we feel guilty. I've had situations where I'm like, this guy just passed away and I could have. I didn't get him across the finish line that I know of. And I feel guilty, I feel bad, and it's like, no, I've done my part. I've shared the message, I've talked about it, I've lived my life, I've grown in that relationship, I've given opportunities. If they didn't cross the line, that's not on me. We need to stay away from this idea, if we have the right heart, it can't be a look at what I did. We need to have the right heart. It can't be, look what I did, look at all these people that I got. What are you other idiots doing about this? What are you other idiots doing about the world? We can't have that attitude. I'm not calling you idiots. I'm saying that's what somebody might say. But I don't think you're idiots. I think you're wonderful people. But we can't come forward with that attitude of, look what I did and you fools are doing nothing. We need to approach this. This is once again about humility and approaching this humbly. And working together because we all have a role. And we can't become bitter about other believers' perceived lack of passion for the lost. Too many people in the church, they get their role, they get their gifts, and they're working on them, and then they get mad that so-and-so stinking Gary, he just doesn't get it. Like, we got to be out in the corner giving out tracts, or we got to be here doing this, or we got to... Come on, Gary, like, what's your problem, man? I'm not mad. But we get mad at people for not having the same passion about the same issue. But they've got their gift, and they've got their passion, and all we're supposed to do is come alongside and support each other and not expect other people to change their passion. They've got their passion. They've got a passion, and they might be moving in that passion, or they might not, but that is... an opportunity for you to come along and support them and where their passion is or where their gifting is as well. We need to avoid coming across as arrogant. We must be humble in our sharing, is another way of saying that. We need to share and we need to be humble as we share. And we can't be people that forget to evangelize through your life as well as your words. We can't forget that we were once far from God and we've walked this journey and we're continuing to walk this journey. Too many unchurched people that don't know Jesus, people that haven't crossed that line yet, they might walk into a church and say, well, these people all seem to have it together. Or they might say, oh, this is a bunch of hypocrites. Either way, no, we're all on this journey and this path forward together with Christ, right? We're all growing. We're all... This is going to sound silly, but it's almost, do I go here? Yeah, I'm going to go here. It's almost like puberty. You're changing. Don't every kid squirm, come on. But it is. Your spirit's changing. It's growing. As you spend time in the Word, you mature. You don't get hair on your legs with this, but you know what I mean, right? You grow. Your spirit matures. You gain wisdom, and you might not say things like I just said. And that's okay. But you will grow, and you'll mature, and we can't expect everybody to be in that same place as we are, is what I'm trying to say. And we need to understand that we need to sometimes share where we were and what we've gone through and how we've changed in order for new believers or those that are coming to know Christ to to understand that, hey, I need to keep pressing in, or I need to accept Jesus because I'll never arrive, but I will continue to grow more into him. Do you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? I think as a church, all churches should be passionate about evangelizing his word. We should all be passionate about sharing the goodness of God. Because that's what evangelizing is sharing his goodness and sharing his love with others. Sharing who he is and what he's done for them. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And every week we do this and we build each other up and then we say break and we go and run the play, right? And I want us to say break and go and run the play. And instead of bringing 12 players back to the huddle, the next time we bring 20 players back to the huddle. And then, boy, we have a lot more receivers and options open to throw the football to, right? Am I confusing you about my football analogies? Good. I'm hoping not. And then we get 20 of us in the huddle. Okay, break. Let's go run the play. And then we come back to the next huddle with 28 players to run the play. And boy, are our options to lob that ball and dump the ball off a lot more prevalent. And break, and we got 35 players in the next huddle. 42, right? And as we grow and as we walk in our evangelistic, because it's not just the evangelist's job to spread the gospel. It's each of our jobs. And it's the evangelist's job to do it and to fire you people up for it. That's our job. That's why each week I say, let's get out there and do our job. Let's encourage each other and then break. Let's go. I want to encourage you guys to do it. Do our job. See, when we're all, if any of us are in these five-fold ministry, it's our job to work and equip each other so that we can advance the kingdom of God. We have all these other gifts that we're going to talk about over the next few weeks, that those people and those giftings as well, our jobs all are advancing the kingdom of God. That's what our job is. Encouraging you, teaching you, and advancing the kingdom of God. Does it make sense? I hope it makes sense. I think it makes sense. I'm going to invite the music team up. And guys, as we are preparing to get into our fall season, well, I don't want to scare anybody off that it's fall right away. Michelle looks like she's going to throw her coffee cup at me. We've got weeks before fall, people. Don't panic. But as we start planning and preparing, and if you feel you have a ministry, and we're going to continue talking about gifts over the rest of the summer, but if you feel you have a ministry, call me. I'd love to talk to you about it. I'd love to explore it and see what it looks like and see how we do it, okay? There's a process we have to take. We have a whole bunch of stuff we have to do, but we start with talking. So I'd love to talk to you. We also have our single moms ministry that's going to be kicking off again in the fall, which I love doing because it means we get a delicious meal and snacks and crafts. I like crafts. Do you like crafts, Gary? Gary's going to teach us to make biltong. So that's going to be fun. No, I don't know. That takes too long, but you can teach me to make biltong. Probably quicker than jerky. Okay. Maybe we'll make biltong with the kids. And then we're going to be doing our parents and top play cafe where we set up the bouncy castle in here and we have coffees and stuff, drinks for the parents, and we have juice and water and cookies for the kids. And I'm excited for that because it means we get cookies. And after the kids leave, I get to jump in the bouncy castle for a little while. But I'm excited to grow and to press in. And it's not a matter of even just growing in number-wise. It's a matter of growing closer to Jesus together. That's what I care about. Yes, I want to see more people in our community come to know Christ. I believe that we're still in a path for revival, and I believe something, we're in revival, and I believe something good is happening in our community, but I believe we need to start stepping up and stepping in as the church. I believe that there is so much we can do together for each other. Would you guys pray with me? God, we love you. God, we thank you that you continue to pour blessings out on us. God, we thank you that you give each of us a unique gift so that we can stand in the gap and we can advance the kingdom for you. That we are here on earth doing the work that you've called us as the church to do. So God, we thank you for that. And God, I pray that as we continue to rise up and be who you've called us to be and walk in these giftings and in this leadership giftings, I pray that we would stand firm and start advancing the kingdom as you've called us to do. That we will advance until Jesus comes back. That we won't sit idly by, but we will be a people who take ground. So God, I thank you for the boldness that you're giving us. I thank you for the passion and the compassion and the focus to move forward. God, I thank you that each one of us can grab a hold of this mantle and move it forward for you. God, I pray that we would be a people who are passionate for the lost. Whether that's our area of gifting or not, that we would be compassionate and passionate for the lost, those that don't know you, those that are far from you, those that may have stepped away from you. God, that we would get moved and passionate and ready to serve. God, we thank you for the giftings that you've poured out onto the people here. And God, as we continue to discover our gifts over the next few weeks, God, that we would be engaged and excited for those gifts. God, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless and have a great week.